the dial, all in one place on a website, nowhere but KBOO. We've historically produced more programs that center on local arts and culture than any other outlet. We continue to lead the Portland radio community. So raise your hand, stand up, count yourself in, make a difference. Call 877-500-5266.
KBOO would like to give special thanks to our local community partners who have donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by The Roxy, located at 1121 Southwest Stark Street in Portland. The Roxy is an old-school full-service diner, open 24 hours, Tuesday through Sunday. Lunch was provided by Bridges Cafe and Catering, located at 2716 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Bridges Cafe and Catering is a restaurant and catering company, open daily. Dinner was provided by Ford Food and Drinks, located at 2505 Southeast 11th Avenue and Division, an industrial chic cafe that features simple homestyle fares and espresso drinks. For more information on how you can support KBOO, call 877-500-5266 right now.
Join us Sunday, May 6th, at 9:30 a.m. at the Oregon Historical Society for KBOO's Pickin' Appreciation Party, a bluegrass benefit. This private event will feature music from the True Vine hosts playing bluegrass, as well as other musicians, as well as breakfast, and a chance to win prizes donated by Artichoke Music, the Northwest String Summit, Dave Elliott's Capos, and more. Full event information and tickets are available at 50yearsofkboo.fm.
Fourth, citizens gather in celebration of Jedi, rebels, and the power of the Force. They wear costumes, have parties, and share greetings and pictures on their social networks. They say it's fun, but what aren't they telling you about May the 4th? They say that the rebels are heroes, looking to restore freedom to the galaxy. Fact, the Jedi and rebels are traitors to the Empire, and so are all those who celebrate May the 4th.
No, no, no. Tune in Thursday night, right before midnight, for a very special Star Wars celebration. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th is a dangerous and immoral holiday. This year, say yes to the Empire. Say no to Jedi. Say no to rebels. And say no to May the 4th. Paid for by the Emperor's Committee to Destroy May the 4th.
KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon, bridging the gap between prisons, prisoners, and the community. This is Mumia Abu Jamal.
I ride around town, around the town with the pedal to the metal, the pedal to whatever. I ride around town, around the town with the pedal to the metal, the pedal to whatever. I ride around town, around the town with the pedal to the metal, the pedal to whatever. I ride around town, around the town with the pedal.
Good morning. You're tuned in to The Bike Show, broadcasting live from the KBOO studios in Portland, Oregon. I'm Tori Bortman here, joined today with my co-host, Terry Campbell. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Tori.
So last month, we took some time to look into how law enforcement used bicycles to their advantage. On today's show, we're shifting perspective onto another side of the law. If you're on your bike long enough, it's only a matter of time before something goes sideways, possibly involving a motor vehicle. Whether it's an entitled driver or road raging driver or a crash, you might just need your own legal representation. Today, we'll be joined by Mark Ginsburg, a Portland, Oregon-based personal injury lawyer at Berkshire Ginsburg Law Firm, to speak with us about how to protect yourself when the unthinkable happens and what we can do to prevent it. Later in the hour, Guthrie Straw, films manager for this weekend's upcoming Filmed by Bike Festival, is here to let us know what we can look forward to at this year's festival. But first, Terry Campbell will bring us some of the latest headlines from this week, April 4th, 2018. Terry?
Thanks, Tori. Yeah, these are prepared by our co-host, Alon Robb. His first story is a study finds that cycling can delay the effects of aging, rejuvenate the immune system, preserve muscles, and help maintain stable levels of body fat and cholesterol. As reported in the journal Aging Cell, 125 amateur cyclists from aged 55 to 79 were tested and compared with healthy adults from a wide age group who did not exercise regularly. Male cyclists had to be able to cycle 100 kilometers in under 6.5 hours, while women had to cover 60 kilometers in 5.5 hours. The cyclists preserved muscle mass and strength with age while maintaining stable levels of body fat and cholesterol. In men, testosterone levels remained high. Surprisingly, the thymus, which produces immune cells and which normally starts to shrink at age 20, was found in older cyclists to be generating as many T cells as those of young people. Other studies have shown that cycling boosts riders' mental health, and bicycle commuters found to be happier and less prone to depression. Sainsbury, one of the UK's largest supermarket chains, has begun an e-cargo bike pilot program in London. The company used cargo bikes between 1913 and 1955, and this is a welcome return to that old form of food delivery. The aim is to see whether deliveries by cargo bike are more efficient than delivering vans in crowded urban areas. The bikes have a large box, 70 centimeters wide, and a separate box for frozen foods. James Fitzgerald, manager of the project, said that a single e-cargo bike can deliver as many groceries in an 8-hour shift as a van, since van drivers often struggle to find parking. Over a shift, cargo bikes were covering 20 kilometers per hour on average, while vans were crawling along at 5 kilometers per hour. London is just definitely fully congested at this stage. Another story about New York City Central Park, soon to be car-free after more than a century. Its roads will be exclusively available to walkers, runners, and cyclists. The decision aiming to decrease traffic accidents and air pollution in the 800-acre park that is visited by more than 40 million visitors yearly was announced by Mayor de Blasio and said the park was built for people. This is going to be a kind of peace and sense of security that wasn't there before. The important move is a result of relentless efforts of members of TransAlt, who since 1979 have lobbied, protested, agitated, and educated, refusing to give in. Thank you to TransAlt activists and congratulations.
3, 4, 5. You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, The Bike Show, and this is our spring membership drive. This is, in fact, the last 48 hours of our drive, and we're asking for your support. What you're hearing in the background are volunteers that are answering phones of listeners like yourself who have decided to step up and be a member of this radio station. KBOO empowers its listening community to reject the notion that you're just a passive consumer of media. We want you to be an owner. An owner of a radio station. And you can do so right now by calling and donating $10 a month. Support KBOO, support yourself, support your community. $10 a month is very, very possible. $10 a month supports KBOO so very much. Please call 877-500-5266. Be entered to win a pair of passes to Northwest String Summit on July 19th to 22nd and other great prizes. 877-500-KBOO.
So you're listening to Jenka and Lori, and we've hijacked your content because we need to make a case for KBOO. So as community broadcasters, our job is to bring you rich content that's meaningful, it's relevant, regardless of its commercial value. We don't need to satisfy any sponsors. We do this because we don't want to rely on corporate sponsors who control the content that we're sharing. This content is for you, it's for our community, and it's because of members like you. If you've never joined before, we'd love to have you as a member. Call 877-500-5266. There are so many ways that you can give. You can give us $20. You can give us $120. If you give us $120, we can spread that out over 12 monthly payments of $10. It's nothing. It's so easy, right? $10 a month. So give us a call at 877-500-5266. I wanted to bring up something fun that's coming up this weekend. We have a Bridgetown Bluegrass Festival. If you give us a $60 donation, you'll get a pair of tickets to that festival at Cider Riot.
You know, I want to encourage you, if you're someone who loves bluegrass and you don't know what you're doing yet this weekend, do that $5 a month contribution to KBOO, or better yet, do a $12.50 a month contribution to KBOO and have bluegrass on Saturday and bluegrass on Sunday. So you can go to the Bridgetown Bluegrass Festival, then come to the KBOO Pick and Appreciation Party on Sunday morning. That's a $9 pledge, but if you do both, $150 pledge, that's just $12.50 a month for KBOO. You support yourself, you get a great weekend out of it, and you get to be an owner of this radio station. 877-500-5266. Be a hero for community radio today and pledge $12.50 a month. 877-500-5266. We want to hear that phone ring with that $12.50 a month. I know that you can do it.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KBOO Bike Show. I'd like to welcome Mark Ginsburg, a Portland, Oregon-based personal injury lawyer at Berkshire Ginsburg Law Firm. Mark Ginsburg has not only been an avid cyclist and activist during his many years in Portland, but he has even influenced change in how the police interact with cyclists and expanded cyclists' rights in Oregon. Mark Ginsburg, thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me, Tori. I'm always glad to be here.
So how did you become not just a personal injury lawyer, obviously you went to law school for that, but how did you become a lawyer that specified, like, that decided they wanted to work with bikes?
I've always been a cyclist, and I worked as a bicycle mechanic through college. And in fact, one of my geekiest bike credentials is that in college I worked under Sheldon Brown, the famous bicycle mechanic.
Ooh, that is nerdy. That's also a little jealous over here.
Yeah,
me too.
Sheldon was a great mechanic, and I was glad to have worked under him. And then I wanted to go to law school, and I was racing bicycles, as I do to this day, and I was a bike commuter and a bike activist. And I came here to Portland for law school, and right out of law school, other cyclists were looking to me for help, and it was just a very natural extension of who I was. I always joke that I'm just a bicycle mechanic with a bigger toolbox.
And why did you decide to go into personal injury then? I mean, the bicycle part actually makes more sense, but why personal injury? Because there's so many types of law.
You know, in the way that a river could flow in a million directions, when I was in law school, I applied to the city of Portland for a job in the bike program, and I did not get that job. They were concerned that maybe I was going to be distracted being in law school at the time. And when I got out of law school, I had the good fortune of meeting the man who's now my partner, Bill Berkshire, and he was doing personal injury work, and he hired me as his associate. And one of the things I brought to the table was that I already had a connection to the cycling community. I was already a cyclist. I was racing bicycles. I was already a bike advocate. So it was a very natural progression to add that advocacy to my law job.
And was there, when? What year was that?
Oh, I've been practicing law since 1995 all of a sudden.
And so, yeah, all of a sudden, I don't know how that happened. And so, in obviously in 95, there was less cyclists in Portland, but there was probably still just as many, much of a need for your kind of work.
We've seen ridership increase, and we've seen bicycle crashes remain about flat as a percentage. So that tells us that as more bicyclists have come from the 90s through now, bicycling is about as safe as it was. But certainly even then, we were seeing bicycle versus car crashes. We were seeing deaths and injuries. And, you know, I stepped in not to fill a void. There were other attorneys already doing it. But I was another voice, another advocate. And it's very easy to be motivated to advocate for people who I care about, even strangers who I haven't met yet.
And what does that advocacy often look like? You've probably done, how many cases have you done?
You know, I was thinking about that. In my 25 years, I wonder if it's thousands by now.
Okay.
Probably thousands. And some of them have been, you know, when Portland had a very robust critical mass, I personally and we as a law firm did a lot of critical mass tickets where we represented bicyclists.
And for those listeners who don't know what critical mass is, we once upon a time, when we didn't have as much infrastructure, had a group of people that in protest every Friday?
Once a month, last Friday of the month.
Last Friday of the month, would ride in the streets as a huge group. And a huge group could be 10 people. A huge group could be 100 or more people, and would ride through. And at that point in Portland's history, the police had a very adversarial relationships with cyclists.
That's very true.
That would be the very nice way to say it.
I will say, though, that critical mass shows us what's possible. because the police were willing to listen. And the police and the critical massers, there's no true leadership in critical mass, it's an anarchistic group, agreed that they would meet in my office. I made my conference room available. And so if critical mass was the last Friday of every month, we would meet about 2 weeks later. So it was 2 weeks until the next critical mass. And the police were willing to send two officers, and they sent the same two officers. And anyone who wanted to from the critical mass side could come and talk with them. And that genuine sort of showing up, you know, really not just physically showing up, but showing up with best intentions, they all realized they might not agree on everything, but we really, and I worked very hard to focus them on where are the biggest conflicts and what can we do to resolve those conflicts. And we saw the Portland police transition from using cars and vans to using motorcycles to ultimately using bicycles at critical mass. And it made the timbre and the tone much less adversarial. And for better or worse, that may be part of why critical mass in Portland eventually petered out. Mm-hmm. Some people were looking for a fight and they weren't getting it anymore.
Mm-hmm. Which is a good thing, because I think in the end, when you step in, the fight's already happened, right?
That's sometimes.
By the time you get there, usually the fight's already happened. And then you're having to figure out, okay, this war has happened, how do we divide the spoils a little bit?
Yes. You know, a lot of the classic personal injury work I do is after a bicycle versus car crash. And sometimes those cases do involve fighting, whether it's trial work or just advocacy work against an insurance carrier. And those are the places where I have the experience and the tools that an average cyclist unfortunately doesn't. You know, if the average cyclist or even the average car driver who gets hit by another car were treated fairly by an insurance company, personal injury lawyers would probably be out of business.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly.
would you attribute, so more ridership, but similar amount of sort of crashes as there were when you started, would you attribute some of the infrastructure improvements that have been made around cycling in the city to keeping that number down? And in which case, the critical mass movement has had a huge impact, one of the elements. Would that be a true statement?
Yeah, I think so. I think in the 90s, Portland was growing rapidly and seized those opportunities to do a lot of bicycle infrastructure. But relatively speaking, it was low-hanging fruit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of why Portland has stalled as a bicycle city. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of pressure in response to the need, and Portland did respond at the city and the county level. The state, ODOT, continues to not really take bicycles into their planning. We see that in places like every single bridge that ODOT controls, mm-hmm. the St. John's Bridge being a prime example. Mm-hmm. But then city stalled out.
750.
This is the Bike Show here on KBOO Community Radio. This is a time when we ask for your support for this radio station. This is our spring membership drive, and in fact, the last days of our drive. Tomorrow, the drive ends, and we need your support in order to make our goal. We're a little behind, so we need some heroes to step up and say yes to community radio. Can you do a $1,200 gift to KBOO? Maybe you're someone who is deciding to disengage from the capitalist superstructure, and you are disinvesting from the war economy and you want to invest back in your community. Well, KBOO is the place to invest, because all of your donation goes 100% straight into our operations here, our trainings, our free trainings for the community members, our youth collective, all of the programs that you hear on the air produced by volunteers right here in your community. So make an investment in your community right now and support us at 877-500-5266. If you're having trouble getting through on the website, you should know I am in between being on the microphone actively fighting off attempts to hack our website. Yes, that is real. This is not a test, people. There are forces out there that want to prevent you from accessing KBOO.FM. If that is something that is chilling to you, that is frightening, that yes, democracy is under attack, well, step up and support it right now. Stand for democracy. Stand for the fact that we have a radio station that is independent, that is community-based, and that maybe, just maybe, some people don't want you to know this information, to have access to this site. So do give a call and support us, please. 877-500-5266. And you're not just supporting us, you're supporting yourself. You're supporting your access to information, your access to real community-based efforts and news right here in Portland. 877-500-5266.
So Jenka's not kidding. I'm sitting here next to her and watching her write code to battle off hackers. So this is a real thing. And this is something that's really unique about KBOO is that we have our systems, coders, people who are volunteers, everyone just stepping in to do the pledge drive because it's so important that we raise money for KBOO. We're different and we're proud of that. We're a homemade, handcrafted radio. We come from the communities we serve. We serve the communities we come from. We just had a listener renew their membership. That's Linda from Southeast Portland. She not only renewed, she increased her sustaining membership, and she stopped by in person because KBOO is that kind of place where people from the community like to just to get to know other people from the community and people who are all interested in the same thing. So you, our grassroots supporters, keep us independent. We need you to keep from having to rely on corporate donors. This is the only way that we can stay independent. So we depend on you to keep our community strong. Call 877-500-5266 to become a member now. You can also donate online at kboo.fm/give. We're trying to promote a few gifts that we have today. So you can get a Keep Portland Radical KBOO t-shirt for a $75 donation. We can break that down for you into monthly donations of $6.25. If that's too much for you, call us and give us $20. We will take what you want to give and what you're able to give.
877-500-5266. If you do have trouble getting through on kboo.fm, you can go to the KBOO app on the iTunes Store or on Google Play. Just download KBOO. You can get it there. You can donate there. And we urge you to call if you can. Please, 877-500-5266. Because when the KBOO website's under attack, what do? Stand up, fight back, right? I got my Mayday spirit going on. Fighting back against corporate hegemony that wants to take over the airwaves and take over all of the news and media that you access. Do not close your ears. I know that you have been ignoring our pleas so far. Well, maybe you haven't. Maybe you've already given. And if you have, thank you so much. But if you have not, if you have closed yourself off, if you have said, well, maybe somebody else will give, I'll let them take responsibility for maintaining the community radio stations. Don't do that. You don't want to be left without a credible source of information in the midst of an emergency. You don't want to be lost in a sea of rumor and innuendo and misinformation. You don't want to have to get your news from Twitter. No, you want to look to KBOO as a credible source of news, a credible source of fact-checked information that's based right here in your community. And I want you to support that right now. It's very, very important that you do, whether that's a $5 a month contribution, a $6.25 a month contribution, get yourself the Keep Portland Radical shirt, or maybe you're someone who could just throw down $780, which is what we have left to go this hour. So maybe you could say, hey, I'm going to be the hero for the bike show. I'm going to step up. I support all of the programming that you do, and I'm going to support it. 877-500-5266. Call and support this station and the work that's done here for you, by you, all about you, as a part of your community.
As community broadcasters, our job is to bring you rich content that's meaningful and relevant and that you're not going to hear anywhere else. Regardless of its commercial value, we don't need to satisfy sponsors. So we bring you such varied programming between music from the True Vine show on picking and bluegrass music on Saturday mornings. And then we have the bicycle show right now. We have lots of important news shows and current event shows. There's nowhere else that you're going to get this variety of content. We have things that have a national focus, but we have lots of stuff, lots of content that has a Portland focus. So if you're all about the Portland community, this is the place for you. And we need you. I mean, if you have never stepped up, if you've listened for years and you're like, oh, I should call, I should join, but maybe I can't afford it, I don't know. We need you. We need everybody to join to be a supporter of KBOO. Call 877-500-5266. If you're shy and you don't want to talk to anyone on the phone, we get that. You can donate online at kboo.fm/give.
Yeah, and that kboo.fm/give will work even if kboo.fm is facing a timeout. kboo.fm/give, just put that slash give on there and you can donate online anytime. This is your radio station. Protect your natural resource on the radio. And call us right now, 877-500-5266.
Welcome back to the bike show here. We're still joined by Mark Ginsburg, our Portland, Oregon local bike attorney, personal injury lawyer. So we were talking about where the city of Portland is these days with bike safety, and there have been improvements, but I think there is a general feeling amongst cyclists that more can be done. And
there's always more that can be done. The question is there a political will? And we've seen a slowing down of that. One of the prime examples was at the state level, the St. John's Bridge. All of the traffic studies made it clear that it could easily support one lane of vehicular traffic, motor vehicle traffic in each direction, with some kind of road level facilities for bicyclists. And state, ODOT, chose to ignore that and instead left it as two lanes for motor vehicle traffic in each way, which, you know, we've seen fatalities there. City had some missed opportunities. I was the chair of the city's bicycle advisory committee when we redid the bus mall in downtown Portland. And again, traffic studies did not support that we needed to have car traffic going through the bus mall. And it was a missed opportunity to really create a throughway for cyclists, for non-motor vehicle, you know, private passenger vehicles. And we didn't have the political will to do that. You know, as our city is trying to increase its density, we're fighting with parking, we're fighting with where to put people, we're fighting with transit issues, and you know, you can fit eight bicycles in the space of one car, parking-wise. Mm. But we need to make bicycling not even equal to car driving. If we're trying to reach our vehicle share point for bicyclists, we need to make it easier. We need to make it better. We need better end-of-trip facilities. We need safer intersections. The vast majority of crashes we see, bicycle versus car, are in intersections.
Mm-hmm.
We're not doing enough to make our intersections safe for our bicyclists, our pedestrians, or even our motor vehicle users.
Mm-hmm. So I have been hit 7 times so far. Most of those were while I was a bike messenger. So, and I might not have been riding as conservatively as I could have been. And unfortunately, that's enough times that I had a good learning experience of what to do when I was in a crash with a vehicle. What is your advice to people? Like if there was a system, like if you got hit, what are the steps that you're going to take?
I always think it's reasonable to call 911. If you're in a crash, adrenaline's pumping, it's hard to tell if you're really, really hurt. I've seen people with broken bones who didn't realize their bones were broken at the time, and it takes them a day, and they're like, boy, that really still hurts. And so in that moment, it's good, and I want to be able to reach out to our police as a positive resource. And so I think calling 911 and asking for that help is reasonable. Certainly getting information, whether you're doing it yourself or having a bystander or even the police do it, the information.
Yeah, what kind of information?
If you could only get two things from the other person, if it's worth talking car versus bike or even car versus car or motorcycle, what have you, the other person's driver's license number, regardless of what state it's in, because then you can find the person later, and the license plate of the vehicle, because then you can find the vehicle later. After that, maybe the insurance information of the person, the names and numbers of any witnesses. That's a good starting point.
Mm-hmm. I tend to find when I was on the ground, I'm either in one of two states. I'm either saying I'm sorry or I'm angry, and I'm screaming at the person. My adrenaline tends to go towards the latter. what should I be trying to keep in mind as I'm on the ground? I feel vulnerable. I already felt vulnerable. Now I feel really vulnerable. I'm on the ground. I'm in traffic.
You know, I think now that we all have cell phones too, it's not unreasonable. First thing you do is you have to get yourself safe, whether it means out of the roadway or making sure you're protected from other cars. Like if you've got a broken leg and you can't get out of the roadway, you need to make sure that you're physically safe on the roadway until professional help can come. But the prevalence of cell phones now makes it so easy. Call a friend, right? Maybe not first. Call 911, and then while your phone is still in your hand, call a friend and say, can you come here right now to help me? Because it's not bad to have a person who isn't as heightened as us, whether it's anger or fear or adrenaline.
It's all adrenaline.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not bad to have that other person help if possible. Well, that's not possible for everybody. And certainly staying calm is a learnable skill that we could all, car drivers too, could all learn a little more of.
Well, and it's really tough mm-hmm. when your adrenaline has already just gotten a huge shot to protect you.
Yeah, and we take it very personally, right? You didn't hit some theoretical cyclist, you hit me, mm-hmm. right? And that's personal.
So we've only got about another minute here before our half break, but What about dealing with the police when they do show up?
For better or worse, it's not written anywhere, but the police have what they all call the attitude test. And if you fail the attitude test, they will not help you to the level we would aspire to. You got to tell them, hey, I was hurt and here's the help I need. But if they perceive that you've got a bad attitude or the car driver has a bad attitude, that will affect how they investigate, what they investigate. And for better or worse, that's all within their discretion, right? In Portland, the police have a lot of discretion as to whether or not they want to issue a citation, whether or not they're going to do a full police report. It's only mandatory if a person is taken from the scene by an ambulance, what's called level one, meaning life or death. So if you're stable with a broken leg, the police do not have to do a police report under the current rules as, you know, enacted by the mayor and the chief.
Which is ridiculous. And we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back, because you actually have a client right now that is working through something like that.
Yep.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio. This is our spring membership drive. We are briefly interrupting the programming in order to ask you to support this program and this radio station. We urge you to support KBOO. This is the last day, or tomorrow's the last day of our drive. We are coming right up on it. And get yourself a KBOO knit cap as your thank you for your $5 a month or more contribution to KBOO. We've got this knit cap. It is perfect for every weather in Portland, and it has a nice little KBOO logo on it. $5 a month contribution will get you the knit cap, and it will get you community radio day in, day out, 24/7, every single day of the year, produced by volunteers right here in your community. Please call and support this radio station. If you have never done so, now is the perfect time to do it. If you have maybe left off and you're not sure if you did it before, or you're not sure if you're a current member, well, definitely renew right now. 877-500-5266.
You know, Jenka, KBOO provides free training to volunteers and community members. In case people don't really realize what we do outside of our content, we are a place that people can come if they want to learn about podcasting, if they want to learn how to create podcasts, if they want to do a music show. We show people how to be citizen journalists, how to mix live sound, how to be broadcasters. KBOO works to liberate through education and access, and to raise awareness on how media consumption affects our perceptions. We are here for anyone in the community who wants to become involved. So we're not just a station that is sending content out to you. We welcome you to come in here to be part of our community. You make KBOO happen. You help us work to improve our communities. And now we need your help to strengthen those efforts. So please consider investing in this community building experiment. Call us at 877-500-5266. I want to let everybody know that we have a daily prize drawing, and today the prize drawing is, if you become a member today, you're entered to win a pair of passes to the Northwest String Summit, which is happening July 19th to the 22nd at Horning's Hideout. So if you call 877-500-5266, you'll be entered for a chance to win. You can also donate online at kboo.fm/give, and you'll also be entered for the drawing if you donate online.
Yeah, and if you're having trouble getting through on the KBOO website, definitely go to the KBOO app, which is downloadable from the iTunes or the Google Play Store. You can donate online through the app, or just put in your browser kboo.fm/give. That will take you directly to the donation form. Support us as we fight off hacker attacks from people who don't necessarily want you to have the information, the news that KBOO provides, that don't actually want to have a community radio station have a space on the airwaves and on the internet. Do not get lost in a sea of rumor and innuendo. No, be strong with KBOO. Be a part of a resilient community that's been here for 50 years and will continue to be here with your support. So even if you know, you think that you have lots of sources of information, you can get your information from the news, from other stations, you can get your information from the internet. Well, I wouldn't necessarily depend on that if I were you. Here we have a community-based effort of people verifying information, going out, actually talking to the source, getting information from the source, and verifying it in order to ensure that what we put on the airwaves is something that we have fact-checked, that we know is real, that we know is not a rumor. And so value that. Put a value on it of maybe $10 a month. I would urge you to consider that. $10 a month is really not too much to ask for what you get from KBOO. And I want you to step up to the plate and say, yeah, I'm willing to do it. I've procrastinated long enough, and I am willing to do my part now for community radio. 877-500-5266. Join this festival of the last minute and support KBOO in the last hours of our drive.
You know, KBOO fills a unique niche in Portland's rich non-commercial radio ecosystem. So, you know, Portland, we're a different place. We have other non-commercial radio stations. But of the four full-power non-commercial stations, only KBOO provides local and live programming 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We can't do that unless you support us. So you are the ones that make KBOO happen. And, you know, you've probably been thinking, I should join. I don't know. Maybe I will. We have things to entice you if for some reason that'll help get you over the edge, like to decide to call us and make a donation. We have t-shirts that you can have, the Keep Portland Radical KBOO Community Radio t-shirt. You can get that for a $75 pledge. But we also have music, lots and lots of music tickets to give away. So if that is what gets you over the edge, we just need you to step up and join if you haven't yet done it, because we are in the last days of this pledge drive.
And you know, a lot of employers actually match your contribution to KBOO. So if you are someone who is employed, who has one of the larger employers generally, then they will likely match your contribution to KBOO. Definitely ask the person who answers the phone about that and do an employer match with your contribution, so that if you give a $60 contribution, KBOO will get $120. It's really worth looking into. And $5 a month is your $60 contribution. That's really, really not a lot. $5 a month will also get you a enamel pin if you want that. It's a KBOO 50th anniversary enamel pin, and it gets you community radio every single day of the year. KBOO is working in partnership with community organizations. We're able to provide this content because we have community support. I know you always come through for us, and our listeners are wonderful. You're smart, you're beautiful, you're intelligent, you listen to KBOO, and you support KBOO. Whether you have never given before, you've given before, now is the time to call 877-500-5266.
And to all my cycling buddies out there, you are listening to the KBOO Bike Show on 90.7 FM. And it's this kind of content and coverage and talking about how to protect yourself out there on the road. That's what KBOO brings to you, is how to take care of yourself and how to stay safe out there. It's that kind of community. We care about you. So remember, give a little back these days. And today we're taking a look at how to protect yourself in a case or of a crash or road rage with Mark Ginsburg, a Portland, Oregon-based personal injury lawyer at Berkshire Ginsburg Law Firm. And before this break, we were talking about kind of what to do, how to encourage the cops to hopefully help you in the moment that you need it. And right now you've got a case where the police officer wasn't so helpful.
So
I think you have a couple cases, actually.
Yeah, that could be as many shows as you want to do, Tori. So we have a current case that happened just up the block from where we're sitting now, where the bicyclist was going straight on a designated bike route. The cross street had a stop sign, and the witnesses reported to the police that the car driver rolled the stop sign, which caused the bicyclist to hit the side of the car. And the police officer came, spoke to the witnesses, spoke to the car driver, spoke to the bicyclist, who had a broken back, and decided not to issue any kind of charges to the car driver. Certainly not felony, not a misdemeanor, but not even a traffic citation, which is a violation, the lowest level of crime you can be charged with in Oregon. Now, we're waiting for the police report to see what it says, but then the police public information officer, and we don't know if the PIO actually spoke to the officer on the scene or not, said publicly, oh, well, you know, we just wanted the insurance companies to figure it out. And that's a missed opportunity, because
Absolutely.
We all expect the police to be there to advocate, to support members of our community. And in that moment, if we find it acceptable that an officer has enough that they could write a citation and they choose not to, sure, there's plenty of reasons not to. They want to be a nice person to the person who blew the stop sign or what have you. But at the same time, it leaves that victim who has been violated physically, violated a second time.
So what can, I mean, besides hiring you, is there anything you can do within that law system to change how it's handled?
Well, I think we really need to look at whether or not at the leadership level, chief of police, the mayor, whether we mean what we say about Vision Zero. because we cannot say we want to have
and
no...
quickly, just really quickly for our listeners who don't know what Vision Zero is, that is a vision to see zero fatalities for vulnerable road users, or I think any road users, but particularly vulnerable road users, which means nobody gets hit, there's no accidents, nobody's dying, nobody's back is breaking. Right. So if we're serious about that...
Right, then we have to decide. It's a city-level program right now. According to the city's own statistics, you're more likely to be killed in a traffic death than murdered in Portland. You're more likely to be killed by a car than murdered in Oregon.
And that doesn't—that's not limited to cyclists. That's anyone
Correct.
In a car.
Correct. You know, City of Portland says there's 34 traffic deaths per year in Portland and 23 homicides. Now, I'd love both to be zero, but what we're saying as a society is there's no question we find homicides to be unacceptable. We put people in jail when they kill other people. But we're also saying that we have a system where we want Vision Zero, but across all of our city bureaus, they're not on the same page. So we have Portland Bureau of Transportation work very hard, the mayor saying a lot of things about how important this is, but in our bureau system with a weak mayor, the police are directly under the mayor. And what we're getting is a disconnect. If we truly want Vision Zero, what we're saying is, oh, it's not okay to kill someone with your car, but it's okay to break their back.
And how is that, like, is that truly acceptable to us as a society?
Not to me personally.
Yeah, not to, I would say definitely not to me either.
You know,
so unlike other bureaus in the city, the police are directly under the mayor's
well, Portland control. Has a weak mayor system. Mm-hmm. So one of the true powers the mayor has is the mayor appoints different bureaus to the other city commissioners. So the mayor's vote is equal to any other commissioner's, unlike some cities that have what's called a strong mayor system. Mm-hmm. It's not to say our mayor is a weak or strong mayor. It's just what those two systems are called, the weak mayor system and a strong mayor system. The mayor is equal to any city councilor in Portland. We're the largest city to have the weak mayoral system. Mm-hmm. But the one power the mayor has is the mayor appoints the bureaus, and the mayor traditionally appoints the police to him or herself. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we have right now. So we have... other commissioners might have housing issues
or
might
parks.
Have right parks, mm-hmm. you know, Bureau of Department, the Department of Emergency Management, you know, name it. But we have a mayor who has the police as in his portfolio, is how it's referred to. And if the chief and the mayor were to say, this is what we want, they would get it. Mm-hmm. We see the same with the level at which a police report must be written. And it's changed through the years. It's gone up and it's gone down. And it used to be that if an ambulance came to the scene of a crash, then a police report would get written. And then it's kind of drifted up, 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 up. It used to be then someone had to be taken away by an ambulance. And now it's not just taken away by ambulance, but taken away, as I mentioned before, what's called level one, meaning you might die. So if someone is hit and they have a broken arm, the current rules do not require the police officers at the scene to do a police report.
Hmm.
Now, those are staffing issues. I know the mayor in his current budget wants to have a lot more police. I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I know because we've seen it through the years in my 25 years of practicing law. I get to use my old man voice these days. In my 25 years of practicing law, we've seen mayors raise and lower the threshold at which police reports are required. So if we want true leadership, require police reports, speed up the rate at which we get police reports. The police intentionally, I believe, understaff the civilian side of getting police reports. And then they say, oh, we don't have enough money. Well, make that a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And also figure out, do we want to issue citations, especially with vulnerable road users, pedestrians, bicyclists?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to really look harder at those and say, if you hit a bicyclist or if you hit a pedestrian, we're going to think twice about should we cite with a bias in favor of issuing a citation.
Now, because you hurt someone.
Yes.
Right.
With the very basic logic of you
hurt
someone.
It's pretty obvious, too, when somebody's hurt. There's not much question of broken bones.
And of course, if someone's given a citation, that is not the end-all be-all. That's why we have a court system. They have the opportunity mm-hmm. to make their case, but only if that case gets started.
Right. Yeah, and that's why we're grateful for people like you to help both advocate for that starting and to help those users who, like in the case of the Ankeny crash, need someone to say, hey, wait a minute, this is wrong. This needs to be changed. Mark Ginsburg, thank you so much for being with us today. It's been a pleasure having you on the air. If people have any questions for you, where can they find you?
Well, they can always find me at our office, BerkshireGinsburgLaw.com, or me personally. You can call me, 503-542-3000, and I'll take your calls. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Mark.
Yeah, thanks.
You are listening to the KBOO Bike Show, and we'd like to lighten things up for a moment now with our next guest, Guthrie Straw. Guthrie is the films manager of this weekend's Filmed by Bike Festival, an annual festival of bicycle-themed films in Portland, Oregon. Welcome to the show, Guthrie Straw.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, Guthrie, the festival has been going strong, I think, for almost two decades.
Yeah, we're on our 16th year, so yeah. Definitely getting close to the big 20 there.
So what's new this year?
So new this year are a couple of things, and I guess if a theme could be applied to this year's festival, sort of old is new once again, but in a really nice way. We're moving our street party, which was one of the heydays of our Clinton Street era festival parties, out back into the street. And so we're taking over the lot close to Hollywood Theater.
Which is where the festival is now.
Yeah, the Hollywood Theater there. So we're not taking the street party into Sandy per se. That might be a future venture, but we're incredibly excited to be moving back into the streets, really taking over and reclaiming that space for Filmed by Bike this year.
Great.
That's awesome. What else is new? You said a couple things.
Yeah. Another thing that we're really excited about is we have a collection of older films, sort of in the sense of a poster launch that we did earlier this year that went sort of as a retrospective throughout the art present in those posters. We're also doing a From the Vault, and so we're taking the oldies and goodies, the favorites, the crowd pleasers, and some of the more obscure, and on our Sunday night showing, we're having a review of those as well, in addition to all of the films that we're showing throughout the course of the weekend.
Kind of a best of Filmed by Bike?
Yeah, best of, sort of a retrospective in a degree. I'm not sure why we didn't do it on year 15, but year 16 seemed just right there. So we're really excited to sort of go back into that, to really re-engage with a lot of the cultural aspects that sort of brought Filmed by Bike to where it's at today.
Yeah, how has the festival evolved? Like what?
Yeah.
Where did it start?
Where did it start? So it started on a hope and a dream. Basically, back in the old days, Aileen Crotty, who's the founder and producer of the festival, wanted to get people together to watch bike films. And so initially what had happened was we had expected maybe about 10 or 15 people to show up for that. Ended up hitting about 90.
And where did the films come from at that point?
At that point, the films were mostly local. So in the early days, we had about 90% of our filmmakers from within the Portland region. These days, it's almost in fact reversed. And so we're still seeing about 10% local filmmakers, but we've got 90% from other areas. And so with that, it's really nice to see sort of that interchange between our local audience and our local filmmaker community. And so what this festival is doing these days is really bridging that gap with our international audience and also that international community that we're hoping to foster around these great films.
And you have an international audience. The festival isn't just in Portland. It actually travels around the United States and throughout the world.
Yeah, that is correct. So just about a year ago, we decided to do our traveling shorts programs. And so we take the best of Portland's festival and we're exporting that to communities looking to build engagement with their cycling activities and also with their community audiences around the world.
Well, and speaking of community, that's what KBOO is here.
Yes, and we are a community radio station here during our spring membership drive in the last 48 hours. You know, you just heard about the Film by Bike series with Aileen Crowdy. Aileen was also one of the founders of the KBOO Bike Show. So here's a community coming full circle. You know, we're a community effort. Well, you hear about so many community projects, community events here on KBOO, your radio station. It's like a bulletin board on the airwaves to all of these efforts and all of these organizations that are doing things right here. And think about all the things that you've connected to through KBOO. This is really the station that pulls it all together, that is the heart of Portland. Please support that right now. 50 years strong, KBOO has been going, and we want to go another 50 years. We need about $30,000 more dollars by tomorrow. I know that we can do that because we have such wonderful community supporters. People step up and they say, oh, you need $30,000? Well, I can put $1,000 towards that. I can put $1,500 towards that because I'm going to dig deep and say I value KBOO. KBOO, and I know what it means to me, and I'm going to step up and do support for community radio, and I'm going to do it a little bit more than I thought that I could. And we know that we have listeners out there that have never contributed, and if you are someone who's never contributed, you don't have to feel bad about that. You just need to contribute, you know, be a part of this effort, be a part of this community. $20 is our basic membership, so try joining at that level and see how that works for you. 877-500-5266. If you can give a little more, get yourself a $90 contribution and go to KBOO's Pick an Appreciation Party this Sunday. You can see what KBOO is all about. You can be a part of this community, hear some great music, have a great breakfast. $90 pledge will get you a pair of tickets to that. We have just 12 minutes left in this show, a little over $700 to go for this hour. So we need you to support KBOO. Disinvest from the war economy, disinvest from the corporate Wall Street economy, and invest back into your community right now. 877-500-5266. The website is back online. I have successfully staved off the hackers for the time being. So go to the website, kboo.fm, and know that your contribution allows us to remain independent. If you can manage $20, maybe you could manage it on a monthly basis. 877-500-5266. Don't be disempowered by the changing political landscape that we face. Don't feel like you can't make a difference. You can make a difference. You can make history today by supporting KBOO Community Radio. This is a really incredible time and a really important resource to support. KBOO.fm is a way that you can do that right now, and know that your support goes to maintaining our independence. KBOO empowers the listening community, that's you, to reject the notion that you're just a passive consumer of media. We want you to be an owner of this radio station. Move from the listening class to the owning class of this radio station and be a part of this community. And the number to call is 877-500-5266. Support the KBOO Bike Show and let us know that you are listening and that you support connections to the community and the fact that we have alternative transportation as a focus here on KBOO. We will be resilient. We will see you through the climate change era, and we do that because we have you as a member. 877-500-5266. KBOO is here to help you navigate this landscape. It's a tool for learning, for gaining new perspectives. And when you call now, you will be entered to win a prize, a pair of passes to the Northwest String Summit happening July 19th to the 22nd at Horning's Hideout, but you need to call in order to be entered. The number to call is 877-500-5266. We want to thank Leslie, a new member from North Portland. Thank you, Leslie. And Denise, a new member from Vancouver. Thank you, Denise. And also Sharon from Vancouver as well, gave online at kboo.fm, managed to get in this morning on kboo.fm, which is now working. You can see the thank you gifts that you can get as your membership thank you, and you can donate online. It's very, very easy to do. Just takes a couple of minutes. You can do that at kboo.fm. You can also call us right now, 877-500-5266. But we do need to get those calls in before 12 o'clock in order to reach our goal. And we are getting very, very close. We just need you to be a hero for community radio right now and say yes to $10 a month to supporting community radio. $10 a month is possible for many, many people, and it helps us out so much. It helps this radio station because all of us pool our money together to make this possible. We don't have big massive CEO salaries to pay. We don't have big corporate advertisers. This is a community-run grassroots station, and we do this with your support. If you want to see what we're all about, come and check out the station, 20 Southeast 8th. We will welcome you in with open arms, or you can just give us a call. Talk to the volunteer. Find out more about KBOO. Maybe come down volunteer. $10 a month. Think about it. 8 minutes to do it. 877-500-5266. Call now.
Because KBOO is a heart, a soul, it's a party, and we want to keep this party going, just like the party that's going on this weekend with Filmed by Bike. And another, you are all out there as listeners, you're beneficiaries of this party. And actually, Filmed by Bike also has beneficiaries to their party. This year it's Northwest Documentary Film Center.
Yes.
And how did you choose them?
So Northwest Doc has been our beneficiary, or for I think about 5 or 6 years now. And that sort of came organically around the festival, realizing that at its core, it's really more than a bike film festival. It's a film festival, it's bike culture, it's bike fun, it's bike party, but also we have connections that run really deep to other aspects of the community filmmaking scene. And so with that, the founder of Northwest Doc, Aileen, really hit it off with, and we really liked what they were doing with that space.
Yeah, they're an amazing organization.
Empowering voices that you just wouldn't really hear
or see. KBOO, yeah,
anywhere else. And so it just seemed like a really natural fit between those two, and so we're very pleased to have them as our beneficiary for that.
So tell me a little bit in our last few minutes here about the schedule this weekend and what people can come and where they get tickets and things like that.
Yeah, so to get tickets, the best spot to go at this time would be filmedbybike.org, and you can purchase festival passes or individual tickets there if there are particular shows that you're looking to attend. And the way the festival is geared, it's sort of on a weekend format. So we have shows Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And there is a new show, or each show is unique. So you can go every single day of the weekend and have a great time. Typically, Friday is a little bit more of our rowdy crowd. So we've got some more upbeat, more energetic type pieces.
And that's when the street party is as
well. That is correct, yes.
Which has tons of entertainment.
Agreed, yes. It has a good pairing there. We've got a really great lineup set out for the street party this year. And so for Friday, moving into Saturday, Saturday is more of our bike love and then our adventure films. We've noticed over the years that these categories or these themes really sort of craft and create themselves. And so it's really us just getting them into a format which is enjoyable and really salient for an evening to sit down and watch some great films.
And you also have some filmmakers in town that people can hear from after the films?
Yeah, and that's another thing that we've put a lot of intentionality and thought into this year. We've always tried to squeeze our filmmaker Q&A sort of towards the end of a showing, but what we really realized this year was that session really deserves its own voice. And so we're really excited to be partnering with Laughing Planet for this year to do a filmmaker question and answer session as part of the weekend activities. And we've got filmmakers traveling from all over. I believe our farthest traveling filmmaker from this year is a gentleman from Venezuela, and we're incredibly excited to have him in attendance for the show.
Excellent. Well, Guthrie Straw, thank you so much for being here and telling us a bit more about Film by Bike. Terry Campbell is now going to tell us a little bit more about some other upcoming events.
Yeah, so we just have one other announcement. The American Lung Association's 2018 Reach the Beach Oregon Ride will take place on May 19th. Going strong for 29 years, the ride raises funds for lung disease research, education, and advocacy. This year's goal is to have 3,000 riders who participate in routes ranging from 40 to 150 kilometers, with rest stops along the way and ending in Pacific City. I think if anyone's seen a photo of people with bikes raised over their heads, that is that's what you get when you get to reach the end of the beach. So for more information about that event or to register, visit www.reachthebeach.org. We'll see you all at Film by Bike this weekend.
You've been listening to the KBOO Bike Show, broadcast from Portland, Oregon, on the first Wednesday of every month. We'll have links to all our guest websites on our Facebook page. And podcasts are on iTunes, and all past episodes are generously archived at bikeshow.portlandtransport.com. The Bike Show is produced by myself, April Streeter, Alon Robb, and Terry Campbell. We'd like to thank our in-studio engineer, Kevin, without who we would be floating and struggling through space, our web host, Chris Smith, and today's guests, as well as our editor, Josh Hetrick. If you have comments, questions, or show ideas, The Bike Show would love to hear from you. You can contact us on Facebook at our Twitter handle, @KBOOBikeShow, or email us through the KBOO website. We'll be back next month with more news and views from the bike world. Until then, make it a day, great day, keep riding your bike, and don't forget, contribute to KBOO. I've done this week.
Trails left cars cause harm to the planet. Don't you wanna take a joyride on my tandem? Huffy on a huffy, don't I look so handsome? Bikes and bikes, they so nice, they priceless. Working on my calves and triceps and biceps. Bypass the gas, stop the traffic lights. I get around, round without a driver's license. Hello, you walking? Farewell, I'm hopping. And I'm whipping through the city with a 40 and a 50 party popping on my Willy.
My mother tells me I should stop.
KBOO's prize drawing rules. Everyone who donates will be entered into the drive prize drawings. No purchase necessary to be entered. Making a purchase or contribution will not improve an individual's chance for winning. The daily prize drawing is subject to all applicable federal, state, and local laws and regulations. Void where prohibited or restricted by law or regulations. To enter, call 877-500-5266 between the hours of 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. and provide your name, complete address with zip code, date of birth, and day/evening phone numbers with area code. Only one entry per person per household per year will be accepted during the drive drawing period. Entries may be mailed with the aforementioned information to KBOO Radio, care of Membership Department, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214, if postmarked by May 3rd, 2018. Incomplete or late entries will not be accepted. Winner will be determined in a random drawing on May 14th, 2018. Winner may be notified by telephone after May 21st, 2018. For a copy of official prize drawing rules and restrictions and for the names of the winners, go to kboo.fm/SilentDrive2018, and thank you.
KBOO hosts a monthly film series at the Clinton Street Theater called KBOO at the Clinton. This month, we'll screen the film After the American Dream on Thursday, May 10th at 7 p.m. After the American Dream is an epic tale of survival undertaken by immigrants trying to enter the United States from Central America. This film follows the stories